everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And later in the show, we're going to be catching up with James Hayes as we'll be looking ahead to this weekend's playoffs. But before then, we're going to be catching up with two victorious managers. Shortly, we're going to be catching up with Spalding United's manager Elliot Sander following their first place finish in the Midlands division last Saturday. But before that, it's to his counterpart at Hebburn Town, the victors of the East Division for this season. And on Friday, I caught up with the manager at Hebburn Town. It's a welcome back to the show to Daniel Moore. Well, Daniel, a big thank you for joining us. And first as first, big congratulations on securing the league title last Saturday. I'm sure plenty of celebrations since. What's your thoughts a week or so after you've lifted the trophy down at Sheffield?
Brilliant. You have time to reflect, I think. And I'm really proud of the club and everyone involved, the players. Really proud of the players. They've been brilliant all season. And obviously the staff around me. Really proud of them as well, and we put some hard work in this year, and we've reaped the rewards, and shall we say enjoyed the celebrations from it. So had a fantastic week since, and you know it's nice to sit and know you're league champions, and people can never take that away from you.
Going back to this running that Hebburn Town's been a part of with Stockton Town and Dunstan for a while as well. It's been tense, hasn't it? And you've had to come a long way back, and it's been an incredible run of form that your side have been on. Have you really had time to take a step back and go, well, that's impressive? Because I don't think you ever will, really, considering how momentous it's been.
No, yeah, I think you probably only recognise it when you've got, you know, other team managers messaging you and complimenting you on winning the league and the running. But the biggest thing for me is, you know, from Stockton, we had that, and they've, you know, I know them really well, and they've said to us, you know, fair play, what a running you've done. It probably won't happen again at that stage of the season for some team to do that from where we were. I just felt the pressure was off us a little bit when we were started that run. You know, we were that many points behind. I don't think many people expected us to catch them with all the games being called off due to the weather. Yeah, we had the games in hand and we could have gone 4 or 5 points behind. But, you know, I don't think, even myself, I never expected us to go on that run and achieve what we've achieved with playing the amount of games we had to play in that time.
Well, the old cliche is, and because I've been doing this show for so many years now, the old cliche is, would you rather have the points on the board or games in hand? You're now the poster boys for the games in hand answer, aren't you? Because, but it is, I mean, it is easier said than done, though, in all fairness. But when you do start getting a roll on like you did, I mean, what's it like being part of a team like that where it is literally one game after the next, win?
We just, you could feel the, you know, I'm not a big lover of the word, but the vibe, we'll say atmosphere within the dressing room. Players were turning up and it was just a mentality of, we'll win this game. No matter how we play, we'll find a way to win. And it just grew and grew and grew. And then when it got to 6 or 7 and we started to accumulate the points that were creeping us back up there, it was saying, come on then, lads, let's see how far we can take this. And, you know, I think we lost on Boxing Day. We've lost 2 since, including, you know, the one before the last game of the season. But to have that run from Christmas to now was momentous for me. And like I've said, I don't think it'll happen again at that stage of the season in that league for someone to come from where they were to win the league in the end.
And just touching upon the Ossett result, because it looked like it, because of the run that you'd been on, and Stockton just dropped a couple of points at the wrong stage of the season, it looked like it was going to be Hebburn's title. But then all of a sudden the Ossett result popped up. And I'm imagining, considering the run you've been on, it's going to knock the wind out your sails a little bit. So fair play for the Sheffield performance.
Yeah, I don't know why I said it to my assistant, Mark. I just had a feeling about the Ossett game that it wasn't going to happen. They came and set the stall out and played to stay up, and you have to respect that. We didn't even play that badly. We've played a lot worse than that and won games in that run that we had. And it just didn't happen. And I was more relaxed going into that last game of the season than I was before the Ossett game, because I think everyone built that game up to be what it, you know, what it was. Fantastic atmosphere, brilliant for the club, but we got the job done in the end, and that's all that matters. No one looks when you lost games or how you lost or how you played. It's just you've got that C next to your team at the top of the league.
Here's a weird question for you. Which on Saturday was the bigger relief, the opening one or the second one? Were they equally as important, do you feel?
There was a few choice words said at half time, so I don't think we played that well first half. I think it was a bit of a, I think they were quite relaxed, Sheffield. They were playing really well and we weren't on it. We'd had a couple of chances that we normally take, and I think it had started to creep in. But I think when that first goal went from the second half, we kicked on and got that first goal. But the second goal, that was the one when I thought, you know, yes, happy days, we've done it.
And your mindset heading into Saturday, because obviously I'm going to mention your previous years, because obviously Eber got to the playoffs last season, and obviously yourself, you got to the playoffs with Shildon the year before that. So you must have had in the back of your mind a plan B just in case, because you are an expert at the playoffs, but you want to. I'm imagining you're really relieved that you didn't have to bother with it this year.
Yeah, I think the players after the Osset game felt that we hadn't played too badly, and if we, you know, if we performed again, we'd get the win. But you're always thinking in that back of your mind the run we'd been on, the amount of games we've played. Would Tuesday have been a step too far? And that was my worry. So all my focus was to try and galvanise them as a group to achieve what they did on Saturday. I didn't want to be going into them playoffs after that run we'd got on and after Tuesday's result. But we were prepared for it. But overall, I think I'm really, really glad and relieved that we got it done on Saturday.
Well, like I said, a big congratulations, Daniel, for that brilliant achievement, and Heber Town at step three for the first time. And when we look back at the last few years, you know, we can go back to the FA Vars, we could throw in the Durham Cup last season. People are going to look back at the club as this period of time being pretty momentous. What's it like being ahead of it all? Because you've been there now 2 seasons, I think. I mean, it must be a really joyful place at the moment, the club.
Yeah, it's brilliant. You know, we weren't miles away last year. Penalties. The aim was to go, you know, try and get out of this league again this year by any means possible, because there's some strong teams in it, and we had that boost. Obviously, we managed to be able to get that game. That Challenge Cup game was after the playoff final, which I think, when I look back now, was a bit of a catalyst for this year, because I think it breeded that winning feeling into the dressing room of a lot of players that I've kept to this year. And we've overall, over the season, we've performed really well, as every team has a spell. And ours was in the middle of the season when Stockton had their really good run, and then Stockton's came towards the end of the season when we had our good run. And when you look on paper, I think we're a couple of goals apart. We're a couple of goals apart conceded. There's literally nothing between the two sides over the season, but we've just managed to nick it on that last day.
And just a mention for Stockton and Dunstan, and at one point it was looking like a bit of a Northern League loving a little bit as well, with Newton Aycliffe doing well. I mean, it has been a tough year, hasn't it, in the East Division?
Yeah, and I think I spoke to the Carlton manager, Tommy Brookbanks, just a few weeks ago, and he's managed at step three, and he'd said this step four division, the Northeast teams, and with us being in there, he said it's probably stronger than that step three division they played in, just because of the competitive nature of it. And obviously the travel as well involved, now that you've got four, five, six Northern League teams in there. So I'm really pleased that we've achieved it, and make no bones about it, we're not going in the Premier Division to make the numbers up. We're going to go there and give it every last ounce of effort we've got, and try and achieve something again.
And with that regard, Daniel, just what do you think is possible? Because I mean, we've not even mentioned the goal scoring of Purewall this season. You know, 30-odd league goals, which is immense. You clearly got a good squad there already. But what's your assessment, if I could ask you this question, in early May, of what's possible next year in the Premier Division of the Northern Premier League?
We've got a good young squad. You know, anyone that knows me, I've got you know, a group of young, hungry players that want to play at the highest level possible. And we've got two or three experienced players within that. So, you know, we're not going to be naive about it and say we're going to go in there. You just have to look at Worksop. They were tremendous last year in this division. And then obviously they've made the playoffs. We've got to get into that league. And these young players have got to stand up and become men, because it's a men's league, that one. You're playing against some serious opposition. And we'll need three or four probably experienced players that's going to help these younger lads that I've got to fulfil what potential I think they've got. And there's no reason why we can't compete with any team in that league. It's just, can we maintain it over a season? And I'm one for a bit of an underdog. I think no one expected us. I think people expected us to be up there this year, but I don't think people had had us down for their number one to win the league, and I quite like that. So next year we're going to go into that league, underdog mentality, and try and upset the apple cart.
I mentioned the mood at the club more generally earlier, but you know, you're going to be welcoming Blyth Spartans to the club next season, aren't you? As well as, you know, some other big clubs and established clubs, like, I don't know, let's throw some names out, like SC United and Matlock Town and Whitby. It's going to be good next year, isn't it? Very exciting for everyone.
Yeah, brilliant. You know, what more can you ask for from, like you said earlier, about the journey the club's been on in the last few years? If you'd have said to a couple of supporters and volunteers that in the next 3 or 4 years, you're going to be welcoming, you know, the likes of Matlock Town, Ilkeston Town, Marine, possibly Macclesfield, Blyth Spartans. Like, they'd have probably told you to go somewhere else politely, shall we say. But we've got them there now, so we won't rest until we've got a competitive team in that division. And it's all about building for the future now and maintaining the club at step three and hoping we can, you know, build over the next 2 or 3 years.
And just a final question, Daniel. It's kind of a similar question to the start, but we've had a good chat, really. And obviously some of those memories are coming back as well, I'm imagining, as we've gone through this interview. But how do you feel when you think about it now that you've taken Hebburn Town to the Northern Premier League Premier Division and you've got this busy summer ahead? What's your final thoughts about what's been achieved at the club this year?
It's just immense pride, because obviously, as a manager, you're the everyone looks to, whether it's going good or bad. So to achieve something like we've achieved, it's a sense of pride for myself, because I've worked hard over the last few years. I'm trying to climb the pyramid myself, and, you know, a club that matches the ambition that I've got, I think it's worked tremendously well. And we're a small club, but we've got that big club mentality and professionalism. So it's immense pride, and I'm just proud of the club as a whole for all its supporters, and obviously the ones that had the hardship over the last 4 or 5 years, for me to give a bit back to them and see smiles on faces again. No one can ever take that away from you, no matter what happens.
Well, Daniel Moore, manager of Hebburn Town, a big, big thank you for taking the time out of your day, not just to appear on this week's show, but throughout the season, as well as last season as well, of course. And here we are discussing promotion and winning the East Division at Hebburn Town. Big congratulations to everyone at the club and yourself. Have a lovely summer, and we'll catch up again very soon.
Pleasure, mate. Thank you very much.
Daniel Moore there, manager of Hebburn Town, joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And a big congratulations to everyone at Hebburn Town on that league victory last weekend. From the winners of the East Division to the winners of the Midlands Division now, that takes us to Spalding United. And also on Friday, I caught up with a manager at the Lincolnshire side. It's a welcome back to the show to Elliot Sandy. Well, Elliot, a big thank you for joining us. And first is first, massive congratulations to yourself, the coaching staff and everyone at Spalding United. What a phenomenal weekend, what a phenomenal season. How are you feeling a week after or so from lifting that trophy?
Yeah, thank you. Obviously, we had the sort of pressures from the beginning of the season. We were some people's favourites, especially after last year. So sometimes it's difficult to sort of fulfil that potential of what's expected. But yeah, just unbelievable to get it over the line. It was a fantastic day for everyone involved at Spalding Football Club to obviously get promoted for the first time in their history. into step three. Again, that's just such a great achievement. I'm so proud of myself, my management team and all the players.
I mean, just going back to last season, just to remind everyone what happened, because you finished third, and obviously it was very competitive up at the top between Stamford and Hales Owen, but you know, you were only 3 points or so behind Hales Owen when the thing had finished. You got through to the playoff final and then got pipped at the Grove in front of that brilliant crowd there at Hales Owen that afternoon. So how much did that spur you on in the close season to go one better this time round?
Yeah, obviously, extremely disappointing to be so close and it ripped away from you. But I think what let us down on that day was the size of our squad, where Hales Owen were bringing players on who had been performing at step three and step two. We had a few injuries and I had to bring myself off the bench, I think, in the end. And I'm not saying that is the difference, but I thought having a better squad where If players were injured or suspended, the lads you were bringing in were just as good, and it didn't upset the flow of the team. So that was the first thing I wanted to do. Obviously, we had a few changes throughout the season, but we gradually made the squad stronger and stronger, which I think is what really, the way we finished the season in particular, got us over the line.
And the thing we have to remember is about the back end of last season was that you were a caretaker manager, essentially. You know, you come in, you're there to steady the ship, but you carried it on and you were rewarded in the close season by being made permanent at the club. I mean, how good was that, you know, getting that stability in place and having a pre-season at the club as well?
Yeah, well, it's all, obviously, at the time, it was probably a bit of a shock to people, but obviously, stepping in, I think I've said before, over our interviews before, that I'm someone who's a winner and I've done well as in a playing career, have had promotions and been involved in a lot of playoff finals and things. So stepping into management, of course, it's a completely new challenge, but it's something I relished. And being given that opportunity by Andrew and Lee at Spalding, I just wanted to make sure I took it with both hands. So it's not a case of just turning up on a game day. It's pretty much a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week job, and I really put everything into it, and I'm just glad that me and the club got their just rewards for it.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, when you take Stamford and Hales Owen out the league, you're in third, like you say, some people's favourites for this season, but you've been pushed all the way, to say the least, by two teams, and in particular Anstey Nomads and Harbour Town. It's been an epic title race where normally teams, you know, don't last the course, but all three of you pretty much have all the way through this. I mean, what's it been like being part of this race up at the top of the Midlands Division this year?
I'm sure it's amazing for everyone else looking in, but yes. for us involved, it's like, oh, surely someone's going to just fall away. And I want to give massive credit to Anstey Nomads, to be fair, because to come up from the league below to then challenge as they've done, I think the points they finished, they'd have won the league in the last 2 years. And being so close, obviously that draw with Corby's probably what cost them in the end. But they were just a team. They must have that real togetherness that they always seem to find a way. They had late goals. I think Shepshed, they were 1-0 down in the 90th minute, 1-2-1. And it was one of them where you just thought, it's not going to be our season. And then as soon as we obviously got, it was in our hands as such, when Anstey drew with Corby, the pressure was then on us and how can we perform in those last two games, which a tricky away tie at Sporting Kelsa and then obviously at home where it's all in your hands. But to then score 15 goals in them two games and concede one, it's a testament to our lads, their attitude and application to the job at hand.
Yeah, I mean, looking in from afar, I'm assuming the team talk was a bit like Steven Gerrard, really. Anfield, we're not going to let this slip now kind of thing. But easier said than done, as Steven Gerrard found out. I mean, it is quite remarkable, though, that you've scored so many goals in those closing games to get the job done.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to keep it as normal as possible, to be honest. I didn't want to add any extra pressure. I said to the lads at the time, I said, the pressure's there because we know the end goal is in sight. But at the same time, if you just keep doing what you've been doing, because I think the run of the last 11 games, we'd won 10 and drew one, which was Harbour and 95th minute equaliser. So we were in a real good run of form. So it was just a case of keep doing what you're doing, stick to what we've worked on all season. And like you said, it's easier said than done. But yeah, the lads were just absolutely fantastic. And especially in that last game against Coleshill, it was a bit nervy for 15 minutes. And then we got the goal and it was like the Alamo. We just looked like scoring every time we went forward. And obviously for me, who'd been nervous all week, and a lot of the players had been just wanting the game to come, if you know what I mean. As soon as we finished the Kelsa game, it was like, oh my God, this is going to be the longest week. But yeah, obviously when the goal started to go in, you just get that realisation that, yes, we've done it.
Yeah, and when you go back to the run that you've been on, because it's not just the recent wins, it's just this, like you say, 11 games that you've been on, going back to the Anstey defeat. You've been playing the likes of Harborough. You've been defeating Hinckley, Leicester Road. You've been defeating Quorn. You've been defeating Lytown at the time, who were very much involved in the playoff race. These were big, big games, weren't they, all the way through this, really?
Yeah, of course. There's some top teams in there. And we see from the playoffs that Quorn had a great end to the season themselves, got themselves in the playoffs and gave Anstey a run for their money, from what I hear, in the playoff semi-final. Obviously, Hinckley took Harborough to penalties, had a great end to the season as well. So there's a lot of very tough games, and when there's so much riding on it, obviously it makes it even more difficult. But again, that's the testament to us, but also Anstey and Harborough, that we were all tending to win, and always found a way. I think for us in particular, Quorn away, we were 1-0 down with 15 minutes to go, and somehow dug it out to win 2-1. And it's them little things that are the difference in the end.
So take us back to Saturday. Obviously, we know what the full-time score was at the end, an 8-0 win against Coleshill Town. But you didn't score until the 19th minute. So there was a bit of a nervy moment at the start, I'm going to suggest. But when that goal does go in and you start to get a roll on during that game, I mean, what's that whole roller coaster like that afternoon last Saturday?
Sort of sick with nerves going into it. I was always confident because of the way we've been playing, especially our home form. But in football, you just never, ever know. And especially when I expected Anstey to win, although they had a tough game. And it was just one of them, you know, in football, where you overthink everything and you think, oh, well, if this could end 0-0 and we could pepper the goal and it just doesn't go in for us. So I think probably overthinking it was the worst thing. But like I said, once you're there, it makes everything a lot easier. You prepare the right way, prepare the lads the right way to keep doing what they're doing. I knew that if we keep playing the way we like to play, we would be okay. And yeah, but that being said, the relief after the first goal, because I fancied us as soon as we were ahead, and then your big players step up. Obviously, James Clifton had a really top game. He scored 4 goals. Glenn Walker has been a massive player for us this year. He was on the score sheet. Riley, so all the big players, although everyone played well, the big players really did stand up that day.
And the crowd stood up as well. I mean, 1,700 there for that one. I mean, that's a way of closing off the season, isn't it, right there?
Yeah, absolutely unbelievable. Obviously, it was a nice gesture from the chairman to allow free entry. And it's a case of come and hopefully celebrate history, which happened, and have a look at what a good team Spalding have and what the club are trying to do going forward. They want to be successful. And they now they've seen that, hopefully, even if that's 50 people or 100 people who want to keep coming next season, then that's even better. So talk will soon spread around Spalding. Hopefully the attendances will continue to rise.
Yeah, absolutely. And we should say, I mean, it was a defeat in the end in the Lincolnshire Senior Cup, but it's credit as well to Spalding. You know, you're taking on Scunthorpe United, and it's 3-2 at full time. So it's been a great season for the club. That does take us to next year. You've put pen to paper to a contract extension, which I'm going to suggest is well deserved. So it's all set up, really. I mean, what's your thoughts on what's possible next year at Step 3 for the club?
Obviously, it's the first season, the first time Spalding have ever been at Step 3. For me, I don't think I have to change too much. Ideally, all the players in the squad have been offered new deals for next season. We definitely know we've got key areas we want to strengthen. And a bit like Hailstone and Stamford, I suppose, last year, they pushed towards the top end of the playoffs. For us, yes, that's where we want to be. We want to try and make the playoffs, but we know it's a really tough league with some really big, big teams in that. So we'll prepare as best we can and just give it a real good go and enjoy it. And that's what it's about, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, just obviously we don't know the alignments for next season, but I think it's a safe guess you're going to be the Southern League Prem, but we wait and see. But, you know, assuming it stays the way it is with the likes of Telford United, Hells Owen, Stamford, Kettering Town, there's some big hitters in this league, isn't there, that you're heading into?
That's it. I think next season in particular, as long as we stay in the league, that's the main thing. Because we don't know it as well as obviously the league we've been in. I've played in it and we've got players that have played in it. But at the same time, it's different really when you're turning out against, you go into away teams who have got much bigger fan bases than we've had last season. The managers, with all due respect, are probably more experienced as well. So that's where I'm coming against new, top experienced managers. So, yeah, we know it's going to be very difficult, but it's just an opportunity that we're relishing, and we're going to make sure that we put a squad together that can definitely challenge at least.
Oh, good stuff. And just the last closing thought, really, Elliot. I mean, this has been a phenomenal season, to say the least. You've been made to work for it, but you're there. I think that makes it all the better when you finally do lift the trophy. What's your final thoughts as you head into the close season now and what you've achieved, you know, taking the club to step three for the first time, like you say?
Yeah, obviously I'm absolutely delighted. For my first season in management, to achieve this is something that I am proud of, but at the same time, couldn't have done it without such an amazing management team. All the players, we've had to come through some tough times this season, but we all stuck together and achieved our dreams, really, as a club. So it's been unbelievable, but I suppose the hard work starts again now, and we give everything we can to keep Spalding United on an upward curve and enjoy next season.
Well, Elliot Sander, manager of Spalding United, a big thank you for taking the time, not just to join us for this week's interview, but throughout the season, and walk us through this brilliant season, not just for yourselves, but in the Midlands Division more generally. A very, very competitive campaign, to say the least. But a big congratulations to you, all the coaching staff and everyone at the club on your success this campaign. All the best in the close season, and we'll catch up again very soon.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks very much.
Spalding United manager Elliot Sandy there joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And a big congratulations to everyone at Spalding United on that promotion out of the Midlands Division. Who will be joining them? Well, we're going to be having a results roundup in a second with your friend of mine, Mr. James Hayes. And when I say a second, I mean right now. He's with us now. Hello, James. Welcome back. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm all good. Big congratulations as well to Hebburn Town joining Leek Town at step three for next season. All confirmed now. But we're in the midst of the playoffs. We had a great fixture preview with Simo on Monday night. And well, let's find out what happened on Tuesday evening in those playoff semi-finals. And we should start, I think, with the East Division. 2-0 victories. Firstly, Stockton Town overcoming Carlton Town by 2-0. Glenn Butterworth scoring the two goals there, either side of half-time, with a very good crowd as well. Over 1,600 there on Teesside. So a great result for Stockton Town. Commiserations to Carlton Town, but Stockton go through to Saturday's final.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Stockton just narrowly missed out on the final day of the season, didn't they? But yeah, you can see, looking at the back of the highlights here, you can see the quality come through. Obviously, Glenn Butterworth has a step three experience this season. Obviously, Carlton Town, I think it's the highest finishing position in the East Division. They've had a move across from the Midlands in the past. So I think just overall, you can see there's, when you take the 38 games in consideration, obviously Stockton finishing second, it's proven its point a little bit there, really.
Yeah, 15 points the gap, obviously, when all said and done between Stockton Town and Carlton Town. But Carlton Town, and we've said it before about the work that Tommy and Mark have done at Carlton Town, just carrying on what they were doing at Colville Town. And I mentioned this on Monday, very worth pointing out that, was it 2016, James?
Yeah.
At Colville, overcoming Shaw Lane and Basford United in that playoff semi-final. So that was a tough game for Stockton Town on Tuesday night, but safely navigating themselves through. So Stockton Town will be taking on Dunstan in the final. It's his classic second hosting third in this playoff final in the East Division on Saturday. Dunstan with a 2-0 win over Pontefract Colls. Dale Pearson and Richard Coulson scoring the goals there. They did go down to 10 men in that game as well, didn't they? Very early on. So commiserations to Pontefract Colls, but Dunstan getting the job done.
Yeah, to play 85 minutes with 10 men is always going to be an uphill struggle, regardless of the situation there. So for Pontefract, and they did come back and fight in that game as well at the same time. Obviously, the two key goal scorers, Dunstan, have had all season, proved to be the deciding factor there as well. So it just sets up an interesting playoff final on Saturday. Obviously, as you said before, second v third.
Yeah, and it should be, we mentioned the crowd at Stockton on Tuesday night, should be, I think it's almost a sellout at time of recording, might even be a sellout at this point, Stockton Town against Dunstan on Saturday.
Yeah, I believe so. So again, a lot of all three games, I believe, have gone to all ticket because there's the demand on it at the same time. Not got your tickets at the time of listening, see if there's any available. If not, it's obviously radio stations are going to be available on the day.
And we'll give a plug to those radio commentaries at the end shortly, James. But let's go to the West Division now. And obviously, we discussed this with Simo. There was a bit of a Merseyside feel to the playoffs in the West Division this season. Firstly, a big congratulations to City of Liverpool. Commiserations to Runcorn Linnets. City of Liverpool winning the game by 2-0. Elliot Morris scoring both the goals for the Perps in that game in front of a great crowd there in Cheshire, just over 1,600. There wasn't too much in it, though, between the second down to sixth, in all fairness. So it's not like what we discussed between Stockton and Carlton, where it was 15 points. But regardless, a great result there by City Liverpool to progress through to the final.
Yeah, let's not forget, though, obviously, with the West playoffs, nothing was decided until literally 5:30 on Saturday afternoon, because obviously Bootle kicked off late due to issues on the M6 down to Hensford. So I don't think anyone could predict how this playoff race was going to go. But Elliot Morris, obviously City Liverpool have been one of the, I'm going to say, surprise packages of the season in the West Division. I don't think anyone expects them to be any closer to the playoffs.
Simo mentioned this, you know, when we caught up with Paul McNally during the season, I think it was around the FA Trophy. I'm pretty sure it was around the FA Trophy. They were down towards the bottom end of the table, weren't they? It's just been, yeah, you know, and we saw it with Nantwich as well, that once that cup competition distraction was out the way, you can turn your attention to the league. Easier said than done, but I mean, Paul McNally's done a cracking job there to get him to this point.
Yeah, indeed. And the FA Trophy run that's actually brought the season into life a little bit at the same time too.
Yeah, and they'll be taking on Prescott Cables. Prescott Cables, a 1-0 win over Bootle after extra time, though, we have to say. So commiserations to Bootle, but Kyle Samba scoring there in the 100th minute at Prescott Cables to take that 1-0 victory. We mentioned the crowd at Stockton, but what a crowd at Prescott Cables. Over 2,000 there. And we go back to the logistics and fair play to these non-league clubs, because, like you say, it wasn't decided who was hosting what until Saturday at 5:30. To turn it around and to host a game like that 72 hours later in front of a crowd like that, fair play to all the volunteers and all the staff members at these clubs for hosting a game like that. And Prescott Cables on the pitch rewarded that hard work logistics-wise to host that game with that 1-0 win over Bootle.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I was at this game. Yeah, very, very edgy. You couldn't predict which way it was going to go. Both goalkeepers pulled off fantastic saves throughout the game as well. It was just literally a near side header in the extra time at the side of the factor. It was one of them where you could think it was going to go to penalties if the way that both defences were playing at the same time. But fantastic advert for the league and for Step 4 in general, realistically. Obviously, bright future for the Merseyside teams.
Yeah, it's been a phenomenal season for the Merseyside sides, that's for sure. So, yeah, Prescott Cables taking on City of Liverpool on Saturday afternoon, and we'll be providing those commentary links shortly. But if that playoff semi-final was a capacity crowd, I'm pretty sure the playoff final will also be a capacity crowd. And so,
I believe as of recording on Thursday evening, it's already sold out. So
well, there we go. There we go. Hardly surprising. The only show in town this weekend, that one there. That's superb stuff. And that takes us to the Midlands Division. Firstly, congratulations to Anstey Nomads. Commiserations to Quorn. Ant Carney, though, we mentioned it last week, what a phenomenal season Quorn have had, particularly the second part of the season when Ant Carney's taken over. But Anstey Nomads getting the job done, a 3-1 win, finishing second in the league, and they will be hosting that playoff final.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, for both away sides in the playoffs, it was going to be very, very tough ask, because I think it was 20 to 25 points separating the top three from Hinckley and Quorn, and again, on all Leicestershire. affair in the playoffs as well. But yeah, Francine Nolmaz obviously had to come back into the game. Paddy Webb taking the lead. Obviously, 22-point difference showed its worth at the same time too. Obviously, a disappointing afternoon for him on Saturday with Spalding's 8-0 win denying him the league title. But a good advert for the league at the same time.
Yeah, now Blake there scoring two of the goals. Jordan Annibal scoring the other. Paddy Webb getting the opening goal for Quorn. But in the end, Anthony Nomads scoring the three goals and taking the win. Two of the goals for Anthony Nomads coming in added time in the first half as well. So Anthony Nomads there through to the final. And I know what you're saying about that points tally, but easier said than done, because form goes out the window. Don't think anyone's ever said that before in these one-off games. And the pressure's certainly on, because, and we said this with Simo, and we had this chat with Simo, didn't we, that it's easy to be deflated after a title race where you've just missed out. So fair play to Anstey Nomads. And fair play to Harbour Town, because Harbour Town were in a bit of a more interesting position than Anstey Nomads. Anstey Nomads did miss out on the league title, but Harbour Town, if it wasn't for the points deduction, would have actually won the league. So, I mean, that's an added element of deflation, let's say. But Mitch Austin's side was having none of it on Tuesday night. But Hinckley Leicester Road took Harbour all the way. What a thrilling game this was. 1-1, it finished after 90 minutes. It went to extra time. It went to penalties. Harbour Town digging deep and winning 4-2 on penalties to set up that second against third playoff final in the Midlands Division, James.
Yeah, I mean, again, Harbour Town, as you mentioned before, could have won the league. Obviously, what's happened. You just ignore it. And then Harbour Town obviously recovered well from that situation, because a number of times that teams have fallen apart because of situations like that. But all credit to Hinckley Leicester Road as well at the same time, pushing forward. Again, Hinckley showing what the capability they've got from when they come up 2 years ago from Step 5. Harbour Town, I think, were close to 100 goals this season themselves, as well as Anstey and Spalding United. So take them all the way is all credit to themselves as well. Again, Harbour Town, as we mentioned before, they've been top three all season.
Yeah, so congratulations to Harbour Town. Commiserations to Hinckley Leicester Road. So that's all the Step 4 finals, all kicking off at 3 o'clock. On Saturday afternoon, we've got Stockton Town taking on Dunstan, Anstey Nomads hosting Harbour Town, and Prescott Cables taking on City of Liverpool. James, commentary links, please, for these games, because we've already mentioned it's going to be tough to get tickets for these games. So how could people tune in?
Yeah, so for Stockton Dunstan, it's going to be Anchors FM on Mixlr. For the Prescott City Liverpool game, we've got two commentaries available with Perps FM and Prescott Cables Mixlr. We currently don't have a commentary available for Anstey v Harbour Town, but we are looking to try and get someone involved there. So keep your eye on the social medias. Failing that, obviously, football web pages will be covering all the games on a day anyway.
Okie dokie. Now, that takes us to the playoff final on Bank Holiday Monday now. Macclesfield will be taking on Marine. Firstly, commiserations to Worksop Town. Congratulations to Macclesfield. A 3-1 win on Tuesday night. And we were saying, you know, Andrew Snaith made the point, Simo made the point, and I think it was a good point to make that Macclesfield have been second now for a good couple of weeks or so, and the team selections towards the end of the season in the normal league games showed that I think they had one eye on this Tuesday night game in the playoff semi-finals. And the question was there, I think, for Michael Clegg, the coach's staff and the players. Could they hit the ground running on Tuesday night against Worksop Town? Well, Kane Drummond answered that question within 10 minutes. And Alex Curran scored just before half-time. Tunde Owolabi scored after the hour mark. Worksop did get a goal back towards the end with Regan Hutchinson. But Macclesfield, a 3-1 win. Over 3,000 fans there at the Moss Rose. They progressed through. Quite a performance that by Macclesfield.
Yeah, indeed. So I think the rest that Macclesfield were able to have, because obviously they sealed second place two weekends before the end of the season as well, that played into a factor a little bit. All four teams were out of playoff contention at some point during the season. There's only one of them teams that have been top of the table other than Radcliffe, which was Warrington Rylands over Christmas. So for the Macclesfield, obviously, they lost both league games to Worksop Town during the season. You can see Worksop Town was still recovering a little bit from that to make the playoffs on the final day of the season. The deciding factor of the extra rest proved its point a little bit there.
Yeah, that was going to be the question. We said last week, didn't we? It was going to be a case study of is momentum going to pip rest And in this instance, I think rest combined with quality as well, we have to say, has tipped the balance in favour of Macclesfield. But commiserations to Worksop. Very good effort to get that final playoff spot, that's for sure. And is their first time back at Step 3 since being promoted. And it's been a good campaign with the FA Cup as well. But Macclesfield go on to Monday's final, where they'll take on Marine. Marine defeating Warrington Rylands on Tuesday night in front of a crowd of just shy of 1,800 there at Rossett Park. Sol Solomon scoring 5 minutes or so into the second half. The all-important goal, James.
Yeah, I mean, in the playoff game as well, it was one of the best attacks in the league against the best away record in the league. So before the playoff tie, Rylands only lost one all campaign away from home. But that one goal just proved a little bit of a spark extra. You couldn't separate the teams on the night. And again, another one you could have expected to score to penalties, if not for a situation like that.
Yeah, so it sets up second hosting third on Monday. Just a reminder, this game will be taking place on Bank Holiday Monday at Moss Rose. I mean, Marine are very well supported on the road. Macclesfield, we all know what their crowds have been like, in particular towards the end of the season. This is going to be a big crowd, isn't it? This should rival the attendance for the FC United game a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I believe it's already sold out as well. It's a full sellout already.
So that means if you've not got your ticket yet for this playoff final, how could people tune into this game?
Yeah, so for Marine, it'll be Marine MixLR. For Macclesfield, Macclesfield MixLR. And I do believe there is going to be a live stream taking place. We're just under discussion about if it's going to be via Pitching In or by one of the clubs.
Right. The best thing to do then, dear listener, is to head over to the league website, thenpl.co.uk, and James will have all the news on how to watch the game or listen to the game. And that goes for the other playoff finals as well. But commiserations to those managers and clubs who didn't make it through to the playoff final. It's been a great pleasure keeping across your clubs this season on the NPL show. But we've got one more week left. Next week, we'll be bringing you a show which has four interviews with the winning managers across all four playoff finals. So looking forward to that one. James, just before you go, how could people keep across the social media channels, please, this weekend?
Yeah, so all action from the playoffs will be on our X/Twitter account, which is Northern Premier League, and then Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Threads, official Northern Premier.
Good stuff. Well, James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us on this week's show. You have a lovely weekend. Good luck. Where are you off to, by the way? Which one are you going to?
I'll be at Anstey versus Harbour, or Leicestershire Derby. I think there's only 10 miles between the two clubs as well. And then on Monday, I'll have a big game at the Moss Rose.
Good stuff. Well, have a lovely weekend, James. And yeah, we'll catch up again very, very soon. All the best.
Yeah, cheers, Ben. Thank you.
And a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. But that's it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Big thank you as well to Elliot Sander, the manager at Spalding United, and Daniel Moore, his counterpart at Hebburn Town, for joining us this week too. Remember, for all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But a big good luck, everyone, for this weekend. We'll be back next week with that results roundup from the playoff finals. So from everyone here at the NPL show, have a lovely weekend. You take care. Bye-bye.